is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die. Greg Crumden. Are there certain tenets that you teach or certain principles that your people have to go through? I would just imagine there's like, I don't know, 3 things you need to know, soft skills wise, or I'm making up a number.
Well, there's probably more than that. But if you think about, so we have people out driving around. We have somewhere around 2,000 vehicles with a service technician. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be able to drive courteously. So it's important to teach young people to take care of their driver's license so that they don't have all these points and all this stuff that would preclude them from getting the job they want when they're 40. That's one. Being able to communicate, you know, if you can go up into the ceiling here and diagnose the problem, can I come down and tell you about it in a way that you get it? And that's taking technical terms and making them layman's terms so that they translate over easier. And then a lot of times we get put in a position where people are asking our technicians for pricing. And a lot of the commercial systems we were working on, it's just not as easy as a cookbook price of replacing a fan motor for a.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we balance that financial conversation as well with the technicians.
There's also the fact that these are the people who fix the thing. They're the people who the consumer is going to trust more than the salesperson, and they can make a recommendation that literally – can change the sales structure and revenue structure of a company if they would just upsell.
You know, that's a really good point. And I think you've met a guy who I've known for a long time, Denny Baumgart. He was mm-hmm. our trainer over at my former company. And Denny does a lot of soft skills training with the young people. And one thing that he always leaves with is remember to ask them, is there one more thing you can do for them while you're there? And it's as simple as maybe the light bulb's bad and he's got his ladder out. Maybe he changes the light bulb. Maybe he, you know, sprays some grease on the door that's sticky.
Or that's squeaking.
That one little thing.
Yeah.
And oh, gosh, I would have like 5 to 10 things if someone would ever just ask.
If yeah. someone ever would, right?
Yeah.
Jen
yeah.
is a little squeaky.
No, so, but yeah, our door is, oh. and our lights need to be changed, and I
yeah.
mean,
see?
Yeah. I have a few things, and the sink is dripping a little bit, and you know.
Okay, but you're on the money there. Is there something extra that can be done?
I love that.
But before you can do that, these people have to have the mindset to notice it and yeah. and don't say, is there anything extra? You say, hey, your light's out. You want me to change it?
Right.
It has to be a proactive thing, not do you anything else? you know, you're not a 7-Eleven guy.
Can you walk the dogs?
Slim Jim.
Yeah.
No, you're right, and it comes down to that. How do you present yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And our companies, we work so hard to be professional, and a lot of people can make cold air come out of that duct.
Mm-hmm.
How can we do it better, quicker, quieter, at a more convenient time? All those things have to weigh in every decision that happens at the truck at the technician level. And I tell this story before, it's just comical to me, but another friend of mine who is retiring right now, so that tells you I'm aging out. he reminded me of a story one time. We were working for a TV studio in the Atlanta area doing some maintenance work on their air conditioning, and we were getting ready to go to lunch. And I was like 20 years old, and I don't know why or how I knew to do it, but I asked our contact, I said, hey, we're going to grab lunch. Can we get you anything while we're out? Just kind of a natural thing. I didn't really think about it. Well, last year, he's recapping this story to me, so 30 years later. And he said, do you know how funny that was? And I said, no, I didn't really think it was funny. Why did you think it was funny? He said, because I knew we were both broke. I was hoping he didn't want anything. But I think having that innate
– But the mindset
the
is
desire
one.
To help. Yeah. I think it's mm-hmm. desire to serve, desire to help. And that's what we try to foster.
Guess what? It's Motivation Monday.
But some of our diehards are not yet at that level. So how do they get there? Where do they even begin to start making those connections?
Where's the Find My Big Shit page?
So let me just take a – I just want to just share a couple things. First of all, I happen to be one of these people that is kind of a little introverted, but I've also learned to flex my extroverted muscle. Second of all, I have failed way more than I've succeeded. I was selectively outsourced. In 2007.
Selectively outsourced mean fired?
I was fired. I've been selectively. Selectively outsourced four different times in my life. The last time, April 1st, 2007. I thought it was a new year. I thought it was like an April Fool's joke. And they're like, your services are no longer needed. And I said, well, can you at least tell me why you're letting me go? And they're saying, you're doing too much networking. And I said to my – I said, like, you guys hired me to go after chief marketing officer to Fortune 500 companies. You don't have a brand. How do you expect – what are you going to – going to cold call those guys and they want – oh, please come on in. So I would go to these events, try to meet somebody that can open a door so I can get to the right people.
Yeah.
So I just – and just so you know, when I started saying, had no money. I was broke. When I got let go, I was – I mean, absolutely had no money in the bank account. And for the most part, I didn't work for a major brand. I didn't work for a famous person where people – like sometimes you work for a famous person so everyone wants to come to you. I had none of that. So I've had to build it the old-fashioned way. So anyone that's listening, if you don't have money, you got to be more creative. You got to be more resourceful and you can do it. So let's just talk about it. I met the wealthiest person in the state of Maryland last night. Okay,
woo!
In the lobby of the Westin. Anyone could have been at the lobby of the Westin. Okay,
correct.
I wasn't in a private room. Now it just so happens – I was intrigued. The guy was by himself. Now, I happened to notice earlier in the day, he happened to be with Wolf Blitzer. But I didn't know who he was. I happened to go up to him, and I said, I apologize. Do you live in L.A.? I said, because you look very familiar. And he says, no, I live in Washington. And then I started to try to do the associate, like, what do you do? And he's
Jewish
like –
Jewish geography?
I did. He actually was Jewish. I didn't realize this. Jewish geography. But so literally with this guy – I found out that he was in the real estate business. And then he says, well, I happen to be in – I own a professional sports team in Washington. Well, there's only three professional sports teams, I think, in Washington. And then he says, well, I own the baseball team. And then I said, hey, do you know Frank Luntz? So Frank Luntz is a political pollster, a Jewish guy. But Frank happens to have the most unbelievable – we were talking about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. This most incredible political memorabilia. Now, I figure if you're in the state's capital, you've got to know Frank Luntz. He goes, no. I'm like, really? I said, I'll have to introduce you. And then we started talking. Then I was now, if you own a baseball team, there's a high chance you are incredibly high net worth. So then I started shifting and I'm like, what was your like lucky break? Or like, did you ever think you'd own a baseball team? He's like, no. And then, I literally asked him, like, I said, you have a book? He's like, no. I'm like, well, what do you want your legacy to be? You got kids, got grandkids? And I started asking him. And then I said, hey, what's the greatest lesson you learned? Because after my mom and dad, passed, I wanted to go do a book called Lessons from Mom and Lessons from Dad. So now when I'm around successful people, I'm asking him, well, what's the greatest lesson you learned from your dad? And you know what he told me? He was like, my dad said, just do what you said. Follow through on your word. Be with integrity. And he goes, keep it simple. I was like, wow, that's great advice. I literally Googled the guy afterwards. Guy's the wealthiest guy in the state of Maryland. It owns a real estate empire, like holy cow. And he was so down to earth, so nice. He was by himself. And we had like a 15-minute conversation. So I said, what's important to you from a business perspective? And he's telling me, he goes, I'm trying to get 5G technology in my stadium. And I'm like, what about getting plug-in from a fan experience? How about my cell phone goes dead? How about you have a charger underneath so I can just plug right in? He goes, that's a good idea. And I was giving him ideas. I said, are you open? Can I share one idea based on my observations? You have suite holders, right? They spend a lot of money. What if you connected them? What if you had a speaker series? I said, I know a lot of speakers. What if, or someone like me can come in and facilitate connecting the guys in the suite. These entrepreneurs are there to try to do business. You can't always control if you have a good year or a bad year, but you can control what kind of experience these entrepreneurs might have. And if they're getting business because they're going to your stadium,
they're
going to
keep going.
They're going to keep coming back.
Right.
And anyway, so we exchanged. He's like, hey, he gave me his email. He goes, you should come out to a baseball game as my guest. And I'm going to, here's the thing. I learned this from you years ago. You're like a genius. We talked about John Rulin, about creative gift giving. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you got to be memorable. I think you got to be unique. So when I go to these events, I dress. I have unique colorful sneakers. I have, colorful sports jackets and stuff like that, to try to be a little memorable, to stand out. But then I want to follow up. I might send an oversized greeting card. I take photos with him. So I literally have his photo. I'll put the photo on the greeting card. When I send the email, my photo is going to be in the email with him. And I'll do this over and over and over until there's some kind of relationship. Because a guy like this probably meets a ton of people.
Right, of course.
So I'm going to follow up.
You know what, though? You never know. And the one thing that you might do for him might be the thing that he would remember and want to connect with you.
And I asked him, at this stage in your life, because he's probably in his 70s, I think he was 73. I said, what's on your bucket list? We're talking. The other day, I'm waiting for my tickets at the NBA, just at the Ritz-Carlton. I'm waiting. I don't even know who the guy in front of me is. We're just having a conversation. And I guess I must have mentioned I was at the Grammys a week ago. And the guy says to me, he goes, I've always wanted to go to the Grammys. And he tells me about his two kids. His two kids live in LA, work in Hollywood. And I said, listen, I'm happen to be pretty connected. And I said, Hollywood is a lot about who you know. Right. I said, I happen to be a top networking expert. I'm happy to give them my book, happy to provide some free stuff for them. He goes, oh, that'd be great. And then I said, listen, I can help make that Grammy dream of yours happen. I said, I'll make it happen for you next year. I said, my friend produces the Grammys. I know the people in the building. And turns out the guy's the owner, co-owner of the Boston Celtics.
Our diehards are now lining up for their ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
He makes his Cellar Die debut. Diehards, say hello to Lee. How did you figure out who to hire? What are some of your hiring criteria? And then how did you lead them? Because that wasn't just like magic. We had great people. Okay, tell us more.
So a book that we're not really talking about today is Hire Right, Hire Profits, which was a book I wrote before Sales Differentiation. And I lay out this hiring strategy. I don't believe that there's this entity called great salespeople. And I love challenging executives with that. They're like, well, what do you mean there's no such thing? I said, okay, I can prove it. How many of these so-called great salespeople have you hired? I mean, great track record. They did it elsewhere, strong resume, but they failed in your company.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe in great salespeople, then you also have to subscribe to one of two of the following. Either they showed up on your doorstep and completely forgot how to sell, or your company is the worst company in the history of business to sell for. Which is it?
Ooh.
Which is it? Right?
I'll take door number one.
There you go. My point is that the word great is misplaced. We're looking for the right salespeople who can be great in this specific sales role. Mm-hmm. I mean, you both know every sales role in every company is different. Even within the same industry, the factors that lead to people being successful or fail is different in every company. So we have to identify what those factors are. Put together a performance factor portfolio, I call it. This is the benchmark that we say for this role, we know what it takes to be successful. And then you evaluate candidates against that profile.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect. You know, I'm,
that's cool.
I wrote a column and I'm writing a book called From Shit to Great because you're not that good.
Oh, man.
As only you can.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
The bottom line is it has it presupposes that you're good.
Right.
And and so damn few people are.
I'm sneezing on the truth here.
It's pathetic. There are very few really good salespeople. There are salespeople that try hard, but most salespeople fail. And they fail because they don't believe in their company, they don't believe in their product, or they get poor training, or all three, or their leadership sucks.
Well, and I'll give you another one, and this relates to what we're going to talk about today with sales differentiation, is they're brought in and they're told, just go sell the value.
Yeah, what is it?
What value?
Tell me.
All right, so let's talk about sales differentiation.
I'm going to give a thing at Outbound. I'm going to give the secret of value, but I'm not going to tell anybody. I want them to go to the seminar. Outbound is going to be a wonderful place.
It's going to rock.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Okay, so you have the right people. You have great products. How do you create disruption and differentiation?
Yeah, so disruption I define as helping people to think differently about the solutions they have or could have.
Okay.
All right, so I'll give you an example. Are you familiar with the company Dude Wipes?
No. What the hell is that?
They were on Shark Tank, and if your mind is going in a place, you're probably in the right neighborhood. So these guys, and there was an article in Men's Health magazine about this. These guys are trying to disrupt an age-old industry of toilet paper. So they're just going after men. That's their market. You're looking it up?
Dude wipes? Of course I'm looking it up.
Yeah, Dude Wipes.
I love that.
So they're selling these wipes that are significantly more expensive than toilet paper. And get ready for this question. This is what was in Men's Health magazine. He said, if you got chocolate on your arm, would you wipe it off with a dry paper towel and feel clean?
Nope.
No.
Think about that. Well, think about the metaphor.
Wait.
Got it.
Chocolate? I got it.
I mean, that's getting people.
It's a brilliant metaphor.
It's absolutely.
And Scott Paper hates their guts. But keep in mind that there are products right now that the companies that made the toilet paper, the Charmins and the whatevers, they all have wet wipes.
They are. And they've got to keep adding innovation to it so that they do stay in.
They also have the Dude Shower, Dude Face Wipes, and Dude Powder.
They're building a brand around Dude.
Holy shit, this is incredible.
When you said holy shit, Jen, what did you really mean relative to this product?
Exactly. That's funny. This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.